So I didn't mention this, but I was no reading in the introduction that the Rav gave this tshuva shir basically to the RCA. It was focused on the Rabbinical Council of America. It was focused for rabbis in the New York community. I guess some people came from all over the place. But once he started giving it, then a ton of other people started to go to hear the tshuva shir. And became a very, very popular thing. They said that hundreds and hundreds of people would come, and the shir would go on for 4, 5, 6 hours.
This was always around Rosh Hashanah.
Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, always.
Yeah.
We gave a tshuva shir. And it was a heavy thing. Very heavy. So we're only getting I would say, a taste of it. Not really the whole thing. Okay? So I want to go back. Let's go back. What did we do? Let's go back to page 21. Okay? So we spoke about there were two aspects to tshuva. It was tshuva of kapara and tshuva of tahara. Right? Tshuva of kapara, repentance of kapara, atonement, where you erase the sin. And tshuva of tahara, where you not only erase the sin, you purify yourself. You become purified. So remember, the last thing we learned that both elements exist. There's Yom Kippur is nechaper, but then tshuva can be metaher. And those are not the same thing. It all depends on what you want. You want to get out of it, that's what you put into it, that's what you get out of it. And so that remember we spoke to that. We ended off that, no, I'm good, that when the Jewish people, when the B'nai Shemitah was destroyed, so Rabbi Akiva came and said, right, that they felt that now when the B'nai Shemitah is destroyed, there's nothing left for them. But it turns out that there was something left for them. They just had to, learn now to find Tara through tshuva and not through the Beis Hamikdash. So he says, Ikar shel tshuva hu ha-vidui. So the essence of tshuva is vidui, the confession. V'yesh ka'amor shnei minim v'nei vidui. There's two types of vidui. Echad vidui shel kapara, v'echad vidui shel tara. So just like there's tshuva of kapara and tshuva of tara, there's vidui of kapara. The language and their form are the same. They're very different animals. Right. So remember, I think we learned this, and we're reviewing. Somebody becomes, how do you become pasul avedus? You can't testify if you sin. Someone who's a gambler, someone who lends with interest, someone who flies chickens, I guess, you know, chicken fights, whatever you want to call it. You know, you're a professional, Even if, like, you know, they do it with shells of nuts or shells of pomegranates, the emasai chazaras, and this is, when does a person become a baal tshuva? Right? They break their dice in such a way that they don't even do it for nothing. They don't gamble, they don't play poker anymore. Not even on a Wednesday night in somebody's house for free. Yeah. I don't know either. Malva Burubish, right? If somebody gambles, somebody lends money for interest. So that person is possible to Avis, whether he's borrowing or lending. The Emasai Chazar Rasan, when is his return? When does he become regular again? When does he become Kashal Avis? Misha Yikarit Starehen, when he tears up his documents. The Yasunam Chazar Gemura. Vafilul Akam Lo Muspe, he doesn't even lend to non-Jews. He doesn't even race his pigeons in the desert when nobody's betting. So he says, right, it's not a big iser. They didn't, you know, drive a car to a non-denominational church on Yom Kippur and eat pork. What they do? They were over on a lab. All right, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't lend money with interest. They stole. Right. What's tshuva? The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, how do you do tshuva? You have charata al ha'aver. He says three factors. Regret the past, right? Say vidui, and kabbalah al ha'asid. Right? And accept for the future, from now on. Okay? And once you do those three factors, you're good to go. So how come these people, why didn't the Brisa say, okay, these three guys, So as soon as they do those three things, the tshuva, why do they have to have this extreme form of tshuva where they have to throw away the dice? Not even do it for nothing. And the shachar b'chupia b'chinam, someone who plays gambling, plays dice for free, havel b'ribis l'achum, right? You wanna lend money to a non-Jew? Afrachos yonim b'midbar, or you wanna race your doves in the desert? Hey, branch of the head there. They're absolutely permitted, not prohibited at all. You have a book? You're buying? I guess so. Okay. You have $30?
Actually, I do.
Good. Fine. Ma'anyen, sold. Ma'anyen, I knew I heard an extra for something.
Deal or no deal?
Yeah, deal or no deal. Ma'anyen, it's interesting. In the halachas of tshuva, the Rambam says, okay, the Rambam said, doesn't say anything about these things. The reason is because their tshuva ha-machshir la-edus, they want, the Bresha wants to know what makes him kasher la-edus, tshuva ha-machshir la-edus, he tshuva shel tahara. He matzicha harbe yoter mitshuvas kapara, alei ha-medah ba-ram ve-chol tshuva. And the Rambam, the Hukul tshuva, was talking about tshuvas kapara, that you're not going to get punished anymore. I don't want to be punished. But if you want to be kasher la-edus, I don't need that much. If you want to be kasher la-edus, You have to be tahor, tshuva of tahor. You have to be pure, and in order to be pure, so in kapara, it's enough for him to say, "I'm not going to do it anymore." The tshuva of tahara, lo maspik lifrosh min hachet. It's not enough to say, "I'm not going to do it anymore." It's like lifrosh prisha gemura michol ha'avira. You have to separate yourself from the environment, hasviva, the surroundings, hagormim, the causes, hatsinaim, the conditions, hakochot, and the forces. Right? You want to do tshuva of Tyra? You want to do real tshuva? You have to get yourself out of the environment that got you to do that thing in the first place. So, you're a professional gambler. So, if you're a professional gambler, then it's not enough to say, "Oh, I can do it for nothing," because you're still in the mindset of gambling.
Doesn't matter whether you
don't
get the money or not.
Yeah,
just a gamble.
I'm not going to
gamble.
Right, I'm going to the casino. I just have to smell the air. I was listening to Frank Beckman, I think. Frank Beckman, they were interviewing this guy who writes gambling books.
Yeah, he changed.
Now he opened a Christian ministry, and he changed to write a Christian novel. So the guy, at first when he introduced him, you think he's like this big tzaddik. So you listen to him, he's got the low voice, like he's been a long time in the casinos. You know what I'm saying? So he says, "Well, why did you change?" He said, "Oh, I still gamble, but he doesn't like the fact that the gambling nowadays is much more geared towards kids, and the gambling sites are geared towards sucking people in and getting them addicted to gambling." But he himself, he still gambles. He's still, I'm still involved. I'm still, His tshuva was definitely not a tshuva of tahara. I was thinking, this guy, after the rub, this guy's tshuva is a tshuva, I had to pull up a chair, this guy's tshuva is a tshuva of kapara. Okay, you feel bad that you sucked in a bunch of kids, and you wrote like hundreds of gambling books to get people involved in more and more gambling. All right, so you wrote a novel with a nice Christian theme. Go ahead. But still, you're also gambling, you know what I'm saying?
What was this with Gensel, though?
What do you mean? Because my friyayonim, and I said, "Hey, come on."
What question was that? How is this worse than?
No, he said it's just gezel. Gezel is an araisa, but it's not a crazy, not a terrible araisa. You know what I'm saying? It's not the worst thing in the world. Did you order a book? You have one? I didn't bring it.
I don't know if I have one.
You want to order a book?
$30.
Yeah, you can choose, or you can buy both. And you pay the second one.
I'm gonna have the English.
Second English. Fine.
So what was the answer?
Send one down. What?
I don't.
Bruh.
He's saying, "What's so bad?" So I did get it.
What? So he said, "No." He said, meaning, okay, if it was Mechallel Shabbos and they wanted to do tshuva.
Right.
The Rambam says, how do you do tshuva? You do charata, and then you're done. But here, this thing, the Gemara seems to say, the Raisa says, you want to do tshuva, you have to do crazy things out there. You have to destroy the dice. He said, because the Gemara is describing, the Raisa is describing, right, way beyond. It's not tshuva to get out of being punished. It's tshuva to purify yourself. And if you think about it, it's such a...
Right, but how did you read that one? Eskin Yosef Bidvan Elish Yesh Behem Gezel? The question at the top. Yeah.
Right, meaning, what's that name?
He's saying
the Einam Osin. Einam Osin Yosef Bidvarim Eilu Shesh Rengevi. He's not doing anything. And the things that he was doing were his theft. So that's why he stopped gambling for money. He's just gambling for free. He actually stopped doing the theft.
Okay. So I'm bothered by why does it have to be a complete total removal.
Right.
It's just he did a sin. He says I'm not going to do it anymore and that's it.
So therefore he comes to say that's Tshuva of Tara. And I think it's deep. I think we all have our things that we struggle with. So the things that if we struggle with certain things, you know, it's true, and it has a. He's going to say it in a beautiful way.
So is he talking it about has addiction
avera? No, he says every avera is not an addiction. Addiction is the level beyond which you can't stop. I mean, the Gemara talks about it in terms of addiction. If you do an avera once, right? It says, the second time, nasa kishkaga, right? The third time, fourth, fifth time. So what does that mean, nasa kishkaga? And then what's the next level?
So you think it's a mitzvah?
It's a chiyuv.
Chiyuv. This is me. That's how I am.
No. Chiyuv.
I have to do it.
The Gemara doesn't take the next level, but it's an obvious next level. You know what I'm saying? So what's your next level? It's a fine line.
This is advice for
what?
Maybe he said something good last hour.
He said a lot of nice things.
He said about the fact that it becomes habit.
Yes. Yeah, he did.
It's a very powerful thing.
Right. Hatshuva shel tara hamachzira as adam lekashrutar rishonit. If you want to get back to where you started, mechayevet otzal yishbor tapish b'sin. You have to break the dice. The korah tashtarot to tear up the contracts. Maharosha kol agsharim to destroy the bridges hamolichim imenu that come from it. Ulaalam hachetem mishamisham yatsa and to destroy the sin that came from it. Va'amam kikay shnei minay chrisudhen. There are two types of separation. Achap misham minachet. You know, one is saying, I'm no longer going to surf those internet sites. The other one is saying, maybe I can't surf the net. Not so simple.
I just had something like that.
I think that's one of the biggest things that you see on us, all of us face.
I'm wondering
if
someone Shari Chuba.
Yeah.
He says two things. A person who... Because he woke up in the morning, he didn't want to do a sin. A sin came to him, and he gets a horror.
Got him. Right.
He says, how does he do tshuva? He starts with charata on that act of the sin.
Right.
But if someone who's been doing this sin a million times, he has to go off that path of sin.
So the Rav would argue, though, that there almost probably is no such thing as wake up one morning and got him.
Right.
It doesn't happen that way. Why were you in the place where that sin made itself available to you? Why are you in the mindset or the attitude? You know what I'm saying? Where were you, how did you get to this place where you could even do such a thing?
Right.
You know what I mean? So, let's say you're filling out your taxes. Okay? And you're filling it out and, how much child care expenses did I have? Is it deductible? Is it not deductible? Put it down. How did you get to a place where you could do that? I mean, we all know people that would never imagine dreaming doing that. Not in a million years. It's not even in their worldview. So if we're the kind of people that would have to fight it, it didn't just present itself. You're in an environment where that's okay, where that's allowed, where that's acceptable. And only losers pay taxes on all their income. Right? So how do that's the difference between the two. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you could say, okay, I paid my tax, I put it in the right way, but the derech chokim is dangerous. That's what he says. Enchei nolad yesh mi'ayin. Sin doesn't come out of nothing. Ex nihilo nihil. Hachetu prishel aviram mitsuyem. It's the fruit of a certain environment, a certain air. Shall tanaim amachshirim lechet, certain conditions that make it possible. Shall chanufa legoy, chanufa, flattery. Right. You're trying to impress your non-Jewish coworker or a client, or a potential client. So all of a sudden you're going to go places and do things. You know, thank God in my business that I don't have that problem at all. But all of your businesses and most of your chanufa legoy.
Like,
maybe you're right. I do. I have chanufa almost goy. I have chanufa almost goy.
It's a very dangerous thing.
It's
somebody, it's going to come out, somebody in the community, I'm not going to mention any name, He was out of town. He was out of town.
Yeah.
It's on tape. I'm
yeah, okay.
Saying
fine. Make sure you're not going to say anything that you don't want to come back to him.
You're talking about the guy who just out of town?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's doing business out of town. So, and he had access to certain files or whatever. And he sold information to an FBI guy.
Sold? Really?
To a secret service.
You know that thing?
Huh?
Some guy?
And the guy, I mean, he wanted to live a certain life. He was sunk.
We're not saying anything.
No.
But I'm just saying.
But do you have one files?
It doesn't matter what
is
it is.
Is really going to come out of the news?
Yes.
It's been already, but.
Not here.
People get tempted because they want to live a certain lifestyle. So here they think, I'm doing this. I'm not really doing anything wrong. I'm just giving information.
I want to be within walking distance.
It's just a laptop that was
going to sell. But they
there's an ad campaign. The ad campaign is what goes on in Vegas, what happens in Vegas, stays in Vegas. The ad campaign is cheat on your wife, come to Vegas.
That's staying in Vegas.
You know what Henry said, I was thinking about. I don't want to bring it up.
It's been bothering me for a long time.
This case?
Yeah.
It's a long time case?
What about the religious?
The question is.
I'm out of the loop here,
It sounds really juicy.
Yeah.
No, it's not a question. The question is, how does a young person
get into
that kind of situation? That's the question.
Because he wasn't thinking. He wasn't thinking what the repercussions.
Right. You don't think I'm going to get caught. But here's that. So that's what I'm saying. When you go to Vegas, I think we all have this mentality. When I leave town, all of a sudden there's a kind of shackles that are off of me because no one's watching you. In town, God only knows who's going to see silver and stern do God only what. You know what I'm saying? And so that's a certain
cut your lawn.
That's a certain preventative measure. That's an avira of a positive air. All of a sudden we leave town.
That's the difference between the difference between certain people. Certain people they look to see what other people look at them or think of them.
But I don't think that's bad. Peer pressure was good.
Or who else?
I think peer pressure was good.
Yeah, but Hashem is
no matter where you are.
Everywhere, yeah.
No matter where you are, you have to ask.
How does a person get to that attitude?
The question is, how does somebody get to an attitude that, you know what, I want to get to a certain place.
How does a person get it? Because a person says to himself, everybody must do it. Everybody says, everybody cheats a little bit.
But
I cheat a little more.
But
what's there between me and them? Did that guy report his child care? You didn't report his child care. I didn't report
this. This guy is not a bad guy. The guy is not a bad guy.
I don't know where.
The guy is not a bad guy.
I don't know where this guy
is.
I'm not sure how the community could I don't know how a community could raise somebody to me, because I'm always looking at education. Something's wrong.
Really?
Seriously wrong.
I don't think that's
wrong. We're not a community.
I'm talking about what the Rav's talking about.
It's a nice word about
it. No, but what he's talking about is like, how does it, you think, excuse me, that have, you think that it, there's not an environment of trying to make a quick buck, and that if nobody knows about it, you're okay. Trying to get ahead.
You don't think that
environment is pervasive all over the place? That's very hard to root out.
Let me tell you something. I've been working for a company for 20 some odd years, and I've had plenty of opportunities to make money on my own. But I feel if I'm on the phone, if I'm working for somebody, I have my obligation to them. So whatever I do, whatever deals I make,
You're on your time.
I'm on their time. It's like, My cousin,
you think everybody feels that way?
Huh?
You think everybody feels that way?
But that's the way it should be.
100%. But I'm saying to you, it's very easy to see a pervasiveness. Meaning, you know what they said? There's an article on the New York Times that said, the thing that Martha Stewart got caught for and she did, 10 months for, happens every day of the week. Every day of the week. That this guy finds out that this company's going to do whatever,
dump it now.
You know? You know what I'm saying? So, but no, my point is, you see that on the news.
Directly.
A person sees that on the news, and you say to yourself,
I am.
No. You see it on the news, you say to yourself, Everybody does.
Oh, that's not right.
Right. I'm the only stinker that isn't making money on the stock market.
Trying not to play the game.
And then you wonder, you know what I'm saying? Like, so each of us have our challenges. Some of us have challenges.
Yeah.
Stocks. So, you know what I'm saying?
Well, but I think there's basic issues there of integrity, responsibility, accountability, that something's lacking. Because a person feels that he can make it quick and easy, then he really feels...
See, I don't know if it's there, because you're taking one example, and I've seen hundreds of examples of people with incredible integrity.
You're
incredible
right.
integrity. So let's not label, Judah, the whole community. How could one person...
I'm
how about saying...
I'm not
saying
that we have...
I'm just saying a young person feels that they can just make it quick buck illegally to me, you know, and without thinking about implications.
Let me ask you a question. Is our society not... Does it not glamorize the people that have risen to superstardom without showing you any of the efforts they put behind it? You know what I'm saying? So who do our kids want to be like? Even the firm kids, you know what I'm saying? Who they want to be like? Who are their idols? It ain't Moshe Feinstein.
That's why just this line. I'm
you know what I'm saying?
The basketball.
Oh yeah, of course.
But
or the movie star, the wealth that they have, and the cars that they have, and the things that they have.
When the Rav says, "Achei to Prishal Aviram Mesuyem."
Yes.
That's why Henry just said it and it hit me. Because we're both thinking about the same case. But there's an environment.
But why? It doesn't have to be the firm environment. The firm environment is battling the environment that we're living in.
Right. You don't always win.
Not
just from people have these issues.
100%.
But there's religious guidance.
Right, let's go on.
Doesn't the same environment?
Of self-negation? No. The Rambam says that it's to the Gemurah if you are in the same environment and you do not sin again. If you're in the same situation and you do not sin again.
But it doesn't mean to put yourself into that situation.
Right. It's not a good
idea. The Rambam says you do.
Rambam does not say you should intentionally put yourself in the same situation.
But if you are in the same
situation. If you are and you wouldn't, meaning the Rav would say, don't do it. Don't put yourself in that situation.
I did an Avera in this part of the house. So I should go back to that part?
No, you should not.
So I'm just saying.
The
Rambam says, Tuba Gemura, is if you're in that same place with the same woman in the same exact place and you don't.
Yeah, now remember, by the way, place is not just a physical place, it's a mental place. It's an attitude, it's a strength. You know what I'm saying? So the rabbis say, you could very well, you know what I'm saying? Your secretary is still your secretary.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you're not that same place. You're in a different place. Where the temptation that hit you before, you look at yourself now and you say, I cannot believe I would, you know, do such a thing. And that's what he's talking about. And then if you're in the same physical place, it wouldn't enter your mind. Because that's the way people are. On the one hand, you're in a situation, you know, where it's easier to do something. And on the other hand, the same situation, you could never see yourself doing that same thing. Very hard. Okay, so he says, it's the fruit of a certain environment, of tnaim machshim lechet, conditions make it possible, chanufa legoy, by flattery of a non-Jew, hitbadlut, self-negation, shal pachar amiti, fear, or pachar medua, imagined fear, so morach lev, soft to the heart, so choser chut hasidra, sometimes it's the spinelessness. Right? They say, you come on, let's go. So sometimes you are negative derech hachet is your unwillingness to stand up and say, no, this is wrong. your willingness to be subject to peer pressure. Or your desire not to be, he's going to tell us what to do. He doesn't want to come to the drink during the Haftarah. Okay. So you don't want to be that guy. You know? We don't actually sin. We stand on that way. That allows the sin to sprout, to flower. To grow fruits and to root. By the way, I just want to point out that one of the beauties of the Rav, it wasn't just what he said, it was how he said it. So we're only getting an interpretation of a translation. He's very much into the presentation, into the metaphor, into the imagery that he creates. So just note the beauty of the metaphor of sin as a root, or think of it as a weed, okay? And you're allowing it to grow. Shekein achet kmo kol yitzira organic, like every organic organism, creation, tzarech l'nishima, needs air. It has to suck in, it has to soak in from its surroundings. From the horns that warm it, from the air that surrounds it, it's like a true grown tree. The kapara, what? Maspika charata. Right? You want kapara? Or you have to have charata. Cut. It's like a weave. Cut it. Right? And you don't see it anymore. Yetzer okay, moreover, you should lochata mamash, and it's a chval kapara. You didn't actually do the sin. You don't need kapara. It's not enough to separate. It's not here. It's not enough if you want tahara not to physically go ahead and do the action that is prohibited in the Torah. You have to change your way. It's not talking about the sin itself, but the path that leads to and from sin. Not sinful thoughts, thoughts of sin, thoughts that lead to sin. And this whole value system, called tfisat olamo, his worldview, called choser habihirut, lack of clarity, ha'psicha al ha'si'ifim. Trying to walk on the fence. Well, I'll be this, I'll be that. Hayotim rachay that creates sin and machnisim et ha'anam tochol ki amusuda. What is the amusuda? How does the last, the end of the paragraph? That bring a person into it.
To a dungeon.
To a what?
Dungeon.
To a dungeon. Leiv chadash, ruach chadasha, a new heart and a new spirit. Enam ba'im ela ba'aziva muchlaset shal derech hata'im. You have to abandon the way of sin. Kavashon sh'ne'ama b'achsharatam shal psum me'edus hazar gemura. When a person is puzzled with Eidus and he wants to be kosher, they say he's a chazara gemura. If you want kapara, you just cut off the root. But if you want tara, you got to weed it out. You got to pull out the weeds. You got to pull out the roots, otherwise it's just going to grow back. I think it's a good point. You have to think about it in a sense. A person can do kapara, but is it realistic? You feel bad. I'm not going to do it again. Really?
Saying you're not going
to
do it again.
Did you do anything to make sure you're not going to do it again? You really did. I'm not going to do it again. But if you do nothing and you go back to the same situation and you're the same person and you're in the same place, yeah.
It's like the Arabs. If a guy's caught stealing, they cut off his hand.
You, okay then.
I'm not going any further.
So let's see if this guy sold on his...
Is there any utility to Tshuva Shel Kapara according to the Rav? Because ostensibly the purpose of the punishment is... The punishment is Nitari, right?
Yeah.
So if I just achieve the level of Tshuva Shel Kapara, I'm hurting myself. I'm not
by not getting the punishment?
I would think there's definitely some aspect.
I think it's one way or the other. Either you're gonna feel bad about it. You're gonna feel bad about it because God patched you, or you're gonna feel bad about it so God doesn't have to patch you.
So the whole point of the punishment is for me to feel bad about it. I thought the point of the punishment was to transform me, kind of the way that
you can't do it anymore.
Isn't that the same thing?
No.
You're feeling bad about it.
No, it's not.
What's better?
First of all, I don't think Tshuva Shel Kapara necessarily... I mean, charata means I regret doing the sin.
Correct. You do.
I either feel bad about it because I think that what I did was reprehensible, or I feel bad about it because I know that God's going to lower the boom on me.
Okay, day. And obviously A is more valuable than B.
But still, B is charata, and B achieves the goal of Tshuva Shel Kapara.
Correct.
Now, is that a useful thing to do? Well, I don't regret. I mean, I regret doing the sin, but I only regret doing the sin because of the repercussions that are going to get me.
So you think that's a very basic level of tshuva. Sure.
I agree, but
it has some utility. Yeah.
You're going to, what utility does it have?
You regret doing a sin.
The Rambam says there's a utility to Kapara and a utility to Tara. Each has their own.
The Rambam doesn't talk about it.
I mean, the Rambam talks about it, that each one has their own utility. So there is an element of kapara of saying, I regret what I did. But
you're saying, what good is it? What have you accomplished?
Right, I mean...
You've accomplished that you look back and you regret what you did.
But the way the Rav formulates it, all I've accomplished is I've avoided punishment. And that's how he's distinguishing between tshuva shel kapara and tshuva shel tahara.
I think the Rebbe would say, I'm guessing the Rebbe would say, but you still did tshuva, you still look back and you have regret for what you did.
It's a madrega.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's madregas of tshuva shel kapara.
You want to know what's the ultimate point of different madrega?
I think what's the point? No, so I'm saying that, remember he said that sin, hate, is a result. Right, and punishment is a result.
Right.
Punishment. So if you can erase the punishment, even if you're looking back, and that charata is in itself valuable, even if it's only because I'm going to be punished. I don't want to be punished. I'm sorry I did it.
Mm-hmm.
So then, what about the next time? You can do it again? No, I don't want to. I'm not going to do it again. You have to do that. It has to be some kind of look commitment to the future also. So even if you won't do it again because you don't want to pay the fine,
mm-hmm.
or you don't want to get thrown in jail, whatever. I don't care why you don't do it. You have the beneficial effect. You did tshuva.
Now, okay, that's fine. So I do tshuva because I want to avoid the punishment. In the future, I'm going to avoid this act because in the future I want to avoid the same punishment. Right.
Right?
What is the point of punishment? Why is God punishing me for doing the sin?
In order to, well...
Is it for just for me to achieve
this is a
that?
Deeper philosophical question. Is it for you to achieve, to get kapara, or is it the punishment... simply an effect of the sin. I mean, the way the Rav formulated it in the beginning, if I recall, he said that 1 second. He says,
right?
Right. He said, as soon as a person sins. Page 16, I'm at.
There's a chiyuv. I deserve a punishment.
Right. As soon as the person, he says, right in the beginning, okay?
And naturally.
Right. So a person is, as soon as he sins,
he's chayav.
Chayav. Right. He did it, he's chayav punishment.
Okay.
That's it.
Understood. And tshuva shel kapara just erases that
obligation. The chiyuv. Correct.
That chiyuv, right? Now, when I punish someone, I can have several different intents, right? I'm trying to accomplish several things.
Right.
Right, when you punish your kids.
Right.
Either you're trying to rehabilitate them.
Right.
Right, or you're trying to prevention and punishment.
That's also rehabilitation.
Is that rehabilitative?
Same thing. Are you sure that's the only reason?
Is that truly rehabilitative? It's not. By drawing the distinction, the Rav is saying it's not.
The Rav is saying it's in the street. So
yes,
what are you doing? What if your kid runs in the street?
Okay.
So what do you do?
So what we do, we only
hit.
For that. Okay.
So it's doing dangerous things. Now, what if a kid comes and says, so we had this with Leia once, it was a baseball game across the street. And all the boys went to go play, they were allowed across. And where's Leia? I don't know, where is she? Walk across the street, there she is, watching the baseball game. So I go over to her and I say, Leia, come with me. And she gives this look like she knows she's done. So she's holding my hand, walking across the street, saying, I'm sorry. But I have to punish her.
Right.
Because she needs that visceral memory in order to prevent her from going the next time.
Was it lighter than usual?
Wasn't lighter or heavier. I don't really hit very hard. You know what I'm saying? If you never hit your kids, the idea that you hit your kids is just shock to them.
Right.
They're shocked. You know what I'm saying?
But you can't start with
the
teenagers. You love to, but...
And then they don't go, I'm sorry, they don't say that. I don't know.
Nothing to call point.
I can't tell you what's the purpose of God, because Rahu punishes us for sin. I don't think it's only rehabilitative. A person who sins is the chai of a punishment. I personally believe that the punishment, if you get more sophisticated, I mean, like a child, if you think of it like a child, then the patch is a punishment that is an external force. But I believe that the onesh is part and parcel of the chet. You know what I'm saying? A person is addicted to money. He steals money. It could very well be that his onesh is that he's not happy with what he stole. And he has to steal more. That the more he steals, the less happy he is. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be. You have to get away from this. Well, if he stole money, if he stole money, he should get into a car crash. you know, we don't know what the punishment is. And I think that people who have experienced more sophisticated chet, the mental anguish that comes from it is a hell in and of itself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but regardless of what the punishment is, if there is a level called Tshuva Shel Kapara, as formulated,
right, then you haven't completely done Tshuva.
Correct.
No,
there's some purpose.
But even beyond not having completely have done Tshuva, is it deleterious for me to stop at that
point? All right, let's go on. Gedolei Yisrael, we done. Excellent. Gedolei Yisrael, 24. The Chokre HaEmba is Chachmas HaEmba. So Gedolei said, Chashu Al Derech Hakira. Derech Hakira, also if you never learned the Rav's Torah, Hakiras. Is it this or is it that? Ha'im Tshuva Al Seha. It's Tshuva and its results. Ha'udah Sha'achet Nimchel Ha'freya V'Shuva Dan Echata'ab. The fact that a person is absolved of his sin when he does Tshuva, is it an aspect of God's kindness, or is it truth? When God says, you did tshuva? Finished. I don't want to hear about it anymore. Done. Is that an act of kindness on God's part, or is that the appropriate, right act, thing to do? Is it compassion or MS? The mikra, oh, the dibbe chazal, the ish mikoros may sign the kind of the kind. So if you look at the.
Otherwise.
What?
Otherwise, the
difference is
substantiation,
by the way. The kind of the kind. Either way, yeah, both ways. Dugma, the dibbe chazal, he chuba sosha menashe merch Israel. So we are Menashe, the king of Israel, not a good guy. He was one of the largest promulgators of idolatry among the Jewish kings. Shechadol achar ishparchu chatira mitachas kise akabod. Right, that God, he did tshuva. He had what was his tshuva? It was a superficial repentance. It was definitely not a complete repentance. Right, that God found him a place under the kisei kavod. Na'achar v'fiyush v'midas hadin lo ha'isa tshuvas menashe v'orli hiskaba. That according to din, the chachamim say it was not worthy to be accepted. Yet there are kain. Moreover, the piti v'ri Yerushalmi ba tshuva me'akadosh baruch hu l'chodo v'atmo. Right, tshuva comes from God himself. This is a very famous midrash. So the Gemara says that the malach and the angels or whoever it is, somebody asked chachma, wisdom, what should be the punishment? What should be the punishment of a sinner? Amru, she said, chataim tirdofra. The sin should be chased down by bad. So they asked prophecy. What's the punishment of a sin? Amra, hanefesh achotah sitamus. The sin, you die. Shalul HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they ask God, Amar Ya'aseh Tshuva. What do you do with that in a midrash like that? So, look, what the midrash is saying is Tshuva makes no sense at all. There's no logic to it, no understanding. It's something that God wants. God gives it to his people. Batorah muskeret ha-tshuva mispar pa'amim. Tshuva is mentioned many times. V'ikara v'maisa ha'egel v'yudim amir shenem v'yom kippurim. The Yom Kippur, we say all the time. Yom Yisrach v'kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael. The idea that God was appeased to the Jewish people. V'sham ne'amar v'rav chesed v'emes. V'sham Hashem k'yar lachem v'chan and erich ha'payim v'rav chesed v'emes. Which? Chesed or emes? Yes? You ever notice that those things contradict each other? Harer, tshuva ein ha'rach mimidas ha'chesed. And he got me the emes. So we just said that it's chesed. Because Baruch Hu does kindness. So also MS. What's MS? He says, the emet should be tshuva shtei midos ka'achas. It's both. Tshuva is kapara, no vas v'chesed. This is what Yoni was talking about. Tshuva of kapara is chesed. Hari adam rak tzcharet al chata'o. He felt bad. Adam lo yar midar chata'im. He's still in the same path. Adam lo pasal mimenu tshuva sachet. Right? He hasn't removed the impurity of sin. Hu rak mitoch shibat chitonit. For some external reason, the rogue mitoch yiras ha'onesh is afraid of sin. Like you said, Mevakeh Shlatzmo Kapar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekabel Tshuva Zos Mechapelon. God accepts it. It's Mechapelon. Chum Ein Zos Minas HaChesed. That's not Chesed. That's not compassion. Lumat Zot. On the other hand, Tshuva Shal Midas Hadin Umishpat Midas HaEmes Ki Ach V'Rak Tshuva Tahara. Right? If you do Tshuva of Tahara, that's Emes. So Yoni, what would you say to your question? What would you say to your question? It's Chesed. That's a kindness. You're saying, why is God doing you any favors? Is God really doing you any favors?
Right. I mean, I don't know how to answer that question. Because, I believe that, you know, I don't know if I believe, but it makes sense to me that an aspect of punishment is to rehabilitate us, and not just to scare us into not performing an act.
You think that punishment in and of itself is rehabilitative without the aspect of reform? Or isn't that, what's the difference between the two? How can feeling pain be rehabilitative? A painful experience be rehabilitative independent of a desire to avoid that pain?
How is steel a street for Eric Mechanic of any utility? Don't we know that part of that is rehabilitative? That somehow, on some metaphysical level, that does something to the soul of the sinner to somewhat purify it? I mean, the Gemara in Shabbos says that Misa's Mechate
right.
for all these things. So, if, what, you know...
What's, you can say
what's
Kapara. Kapara is what's Kapara?
But I'm no longer able to
say it. It's a chesed. Maybe so. Because Baruch Hu says that if you go through this suffering, then you're right. It's not. It doesn't make you a better person. Maybe you're a better person to go through that suffering.
No, but that same Gemara says that the Indian, the Onesh, Yom Kippur pushes off the Onesh. I mean, for this occurrence.
Right. Right.
Yom Kippur pushes off the Onesh.
And Yom Kippur, you have to wait till Misa to be Mechaper.
Right.
You don't get Kapara until Misa. So Kippur and Misa. So you're right, Kapara. But what's Kapara? He says Kapara is Chesed. There's no... I don't know how Kapara is Mechaper. That's what the point is. We don't understand it. It's Chesed. It's not MS. But you're saying, the other way you're saying, but
no,
God is not doing you a favor. Because if you avoid that punishment, you're just going to go do it again.
Well, even take that Kapara out of the mix. Because that's talking about, you know... death from, let's say, natural causes, whatever
right.
that means. But take a fee of Misa that's actually carried out by Beis Din.
Right.
Okay, so that, I think.
One could argue, I could argue this way, how is it Mechaper? You paid your debt. Meaning you when a person sins,
but
he's in debt. He's in negative balance.
Right.
So Misa could bring a Kapara. And it pays back the negative balance. How? I don't know. All right, let's go on.
Okay.
We're a little off field. Lumacho! Back on page 25. Chuba shamidus adina mishma midus emes. Hiachurach chuba shatara. Chuba shatara. Chuba lombi kabele. Vachet shikimi et adam lofeo vahala ayak lo haya. The sin falls away as if it never happened. Yishum shahadam kilash and a rambam, because this person, this human being, Acher, who is a different person. He changes his identity. Right? How can you say, I'm going to hold you responsible for sins that wasn't you?
So
it's shame. Wait a second. Tara gives you a new personality. A new chadash, a new heart. Neshama chadash, a new neshama. Hashkafa acharet, a new worldview. Afakim acharim. New perspectives. On a machad yared b'tovel, person goes and does tefila. Uksha ola min tefila, ola adam acher. Then he comes out from tefila, he's a different person. Yared ruben achote, ve'ola shema hatoher. Now remember, by the way, what is the one imagery he used? Ma mikva metares hatzneim, avakadosh baruch hu metares yisrael. So if you think about it, when a non-Jew converts, he goes down the mikvah, and he goes down a non-Jew, and he comes up. Yasul ben Avram Avinu. A totally different person. So says the Rambam, when a person is Yore the Mikvah Sheltara, he goes down one person and he comes back different name, different person at least. That's what he says. The Emet Amru, very good. He achat haskulo v'tshuva, he b'shira Hashem. One of the skulos of tshuva is changing the name. So the person who changes his name is...
There is a similar imagery in the book, the Four Addresses.
Yeah.
No,
it's five, but okay. Yeah, he added another one.
Right. So there's two gears to the Gemara Chagiga, and one of the Yerushalmi. Everyone can do tshuva chutz me acher. You know the Gemara about
yeah.
that. But the Yerushalmi says chutz me alisha b'nevuah. So the Rav has this whole image.
that Acher's personality can't do tshuva, but if it becomes what it used to be, then he could come back to what he could be.
Wow.
Oh.
He's talking about it.
See, that, maybe that's Sion B'Mishpat Tibodin, you know, the Haftorah before Tisha B'Av.
Yeah.
So the only way that that we're going to be, let's say, to have a new Yerushalayim is through Mishpat.
B'Shaveh B'Tzedakah.
Which is where the Jewish people become new people.
B'Shaveh B'Tzedakah, what about the second part? I always understood Tiyam B'Mishpat Tipadah. I mean, the whole beginning of that Haftarah was about how they basically didn't care about law anymore. They were stealing from each other. We've come full circle. And selling whatever information to the FBI. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you think you're going to have to be so frum that you're going to be learning all day, you know, you're going to bring korbanos, and you're going to keep kosher and have 100% hachsherim. No, it's here in the mishpat to be told there. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be honest and upright and appropriate. How are we doing? You guys going to go on or you want to stop? One more. Start the topic. אם ראית חוזר בתשובה שעל שולחן המונחאים עדיין נפיס בסין, אם שם שם לי חוזר בתשובה, we still have the dice. המצודה של מפריך היום, and you still got the cages of the doves. I dine on the Fadilas Beso. It's still there.
Kind of Vegas.
No, he said, what are you talking about? You know, like...
You got rid of the doves.
You know, I don't play poker anymore. What are the cards for? I play solitaire. Oh, with chips?
Chip
or
mortgage.
Just, I like
it a bit.
Yeah, it makes me feel good. He's got the steros. They're still in the drawer, right? She runs a guy in Los Savarat Mahamanat the Hibarim in Kadash. He's done Shuba, but he hasn't recreated himself. He's still the same guy. So a guy in Lohichlit at Sidiratol, he still hasn't changed his surroundings. That's Hergelad, his behaviors. Et Havira, Otahu no Shem Tocha, the environment that he breathes. Rambachazon, the Vyotel, the Shuba Melechachila. Lama Enochote, the Shabbat Isla. He says, what caused him to change his mind? Why did he Shuba? So, la yaze b'gval cheshbon ha-nefesh. He says, I can tell you what it wasn't. Right? A person who does tshuva, but still keeps the dice on the table, it wasn't because of cheshbon ha-nefesh. Lo haya oseh cheshbon ha-nefesh, v'machashev olamo l'chadei sach ha-kol. Lo haya, if he had done cheshbon ha-nefesh, and you know, he evaluated his world, and he, to sach ha-kol, what's the whole thing? Haya v'vaday b'lidei tshuva shel tara. A person who does cheshbon ha-nefesh, real cheshbon ha-nefesh, understands, this is not who I want to be. And if it's not who you want to be, you can't just stop the behavior. You have to do other things around it. How could it be otherwise? But this guy, he did tshuva of kapara. So what brings a person to tshuva of kapara? To tshuva where I'll stop doing it, but if you really want to stop doing it, you have to stop hanging around with these people. Nah, they're my friends. I like those guys. So what made you stop doing the thing? So he says, "Nira shahayu ilu hitgalut v'hitapchut shibau olav lepeket." There was some kind of revelation, some kind of uproar that came upon him surprisingly. Zizau oto mir batso v'hichnisu b'libo ma'ashavot shaklalo hitkaven elan. They shook him. From his near Batsel, from his
complacence.
Thank you. And they put into his heart thoughts that he never wanted them. Shubatel lo haita tshuva haba mechezbon ha-nefesh. Wasn't that ela mehelem pitomi v'bchinat v'ayhi ba-boker. It was in the morning. So you can tell it was in the morning, but you have to see it in the Navi itself. So the Navi tells the story of a guy named Naval HaKarmeli. Right? Naval HaKarmeli, is that his name is? Right? So David HaMelech is running around and he needs help. He comes along with this guy Naval and he says to Naval, Naval is a rich man. He sends to Naval and he says, do me a favor, I need some food. So Naval sends him a message and says, what did he say? Who's this guy David? Hayom Rabu Avdim Hamid Parsim Ishmit Miyandana. There are all kinds of people running around that are claiming that they want stuff from me. You know? Show me the TEP and then maybe I'll give you something. But until then, do me a favor. Go home. So, Vayomer David la'anashav, chivu ish et charbo. You know, David wasn't not somebody to mess with. Well, he was annoyed to the Melech, but here, I ask you for help, and this is what you say to me? We're going to kill him. Okay? Vayalu achwei David ki arbam yo ish umartayim eshru al hakeli. So there were 400 men, and 200 stayed behind. So David was ready to kill this guy. So Abigail, Nabal's wife, finds out what happens. So what does she do? So she runs to him, you know, and she brings a bunch of stuff. She puts together this whole huge package, all these donkeys, and she runs and hits David in the head before he gets to her husband. Okay? And when she gets there, the David Amar, one second. Because I just want you to know that by morning, every male in Nabal's household and family would have been dead. Fine. So Abigail goes home, etc., etc. So the Navi says, the next day, Lamidva, Abigail el Nava. So Abigail returns home to her husband. It was a party in his house. The party of the king. She comes home to her husband and he's drunk as a skunk. So he didn't say anything. He's drunk. So she waits until the morning. The next morning, the wine is gone. Probably has a hangover like there's no tomorrow. V'atagid lo ishto et hadvarim ha'ela. So his wife says to him, "My dear husband, do you know what happened? You were almost killed yesterday. He was going to kill you for ignoring him." V'yamat libo b'kirbo k'hu haya la'ave. His heart died in his midst, and he became like stone. Says the Rav. Okay, I just read you the Zu Darko, next page, 27th. Zu Darko Shahachet Me'azim Me'olam. This is the way of sin forever. Hu Tofesh Et Ha'adam Kehu Shakua B'Lav Hachet. It grabs the person in the evening. He's in the midst of the evening of sin. Anan V'Arafi Amachasim Et Orach Nimisha Abadam. Right? He's covered in clouds and darkness. Adam Shori B'Choshtecha Yitzarim. He's in the darkness of his desires, of his yetzer. And he is children.
As long as
we're
living
in
oblivion of his lust.
Thank you. Plunged with an oblivion of his lust. Ubotasha'a, in that moment, Leib Nabal, Tovalav. He's drunk. He can't say anything. Hushikor Ma'od, he's so drunk. He's so drunk, he can't even see the sword hanging right over him. At that point of drunkenness, so in comes his wife Abigail, and she has got news. "Hey dear, you almost got killed tonight." He cried your dad beberur. She knows clearly. Right? She already knows that the end is already decided. So she comes in. She didn't say anything. So why didn't she say anything now? Why did she wait? She kept a secret in her heart. Because there's a time to talk. And I can't keep shut. Sometimes you can talk to a person. Sometimes he's so drunk, you can't tell him anything. He won't hear anything you say. So rabbis sometimes feel like Abigail. Right? Abigail came home, she has to tell her husband, "You gotta change!" And he's drunk. So rabbis feel like that a lot. Him chashim, they think, that their little drips of words are going to fall on a silvery stone. Right? The people they talk to him, shikorim b'ridifar, chorei amutarot. The people they're talking to are, they're drunk, chasing after
luxuries.
Chikui legoy. Go ahead, Sullivan.
Imitate from
the right. Pitchanfut. Right, you know, flattery and learning how from your neighbors. There's nobody to talk to. So he says they don't say anything. And the rabbi is so good. You know, how many topics were there? How many topics are there? Well, I'll say were there or are there. The rabbis don't talk about. I'm not going to talk about that. No one's going to listen to me. Right? You know, if the rabbi was talking to rabbis, he hit home. You know. But it's a gzeira, right? That drunkenness dissipates. The night ends, the morning comes, the eyes. One day, when the wine goes out, there's an opportunity.
Yeah, so this guy's
and if the opportunity. Okay, now I'm going to turn up the tape too.